Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Manasquan School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Board of Education Meeting for November 14th, 2017. Our call to order, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication at Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. I'd ask you to join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy, please.
Mrs. Bassoni.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma. Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley. Mr. Hovater.
Here.
Mr. Loffredo.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry. Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Vitale. Mr. Warren. Christopher Black.
Here.
Tyler Walker.
Here.
Madison Reinhold. Olivia Easton.
Here.
We have quorum. Thank you.
And please note that Mr. DePalma is here.
Thank you.
Our mission statement, Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public, oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience, the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before matters placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Please note that Mrs. Muley is here. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of October 17th, 2017. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, second. Ms. Bassoni? Any question on the minutes? Sandy.
Mrs. Bassoni?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Abstain.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Abstain.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. That brings us to our student board representative report, and I will ask Olivia to go first.
Currently, we're 1 week away from the homecoming decorating of the hallway, which is our biggest event of the year, and then the next current thing is Powder Puff is this Sunday with the junior girls versus senior girls. So we've been fundraising and getting shirts ordered for that. And then just in general, all the other underclassmen, student councils have been working the snack stand at the football games to raise money for their grades so they have money to get decorations for the hallway.
Great, thank you. And Christopher?
Yeah, this weekend's gonna be big for Key Club. We have volunteers at the St. Dennis Dance Friday night, November 17th. And also the following day on Saturday, we have volunteers at the Turkey Run.
And then we also have the Candy Cane Hunt. We're just helping out the organization and assisting the event. And then we are taking part in the holiday wreaths, Sally. And we're asking all members to sell 10 wreaths.
Thank you, Tyler. Do we have a motion to accept the student board representative report? Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Hovater, any questions? Sandy?
Mrs. Bassoni?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. That brings us to our presentations, and for that, I will turn it over to Dr. Cajun.
Thank you.
May we go to the podium, please? Can you be the certificate?
Sure.
I want to thank the board again for starting off your meeting, recognizing both academic and athletic excellence. We've always been about students, and this is another demonstration of that. As we start tonight's presentation, first, we're here to recognize athletic excellence at our elementary school. The Manasquan Elementary School girls soccer team now have become part of a tradition of athletic excellence here at Manasquan. For the second year in a row, you have won your conference championship. We're extremely proud of you. And tonight, we're here to celebrate. Tonight, for the first time, we have cupcakes with a soccer ring on them. And when you ask yourself, why cupcakes? Because it was so difficult for us to cut the cake. And I thought, since weddings now offer cupcake, it would be nice to try to change. And we're trying it tonight, just like any other tradition, try it first. And if it works, and you guys say to me tomorrow morning, Dr. Cajun, that was awesome. You're going to do it again for each team. And on top of each cupcake, we have a little soccer ring. Okay, you might think a little corny, but I thought it was sort of nice. So, because you represent our thank you to you. So please, take a cupcake. Okay? Or several. The 2017 Girls Soccer Championship, winners of the American Division regular season title, won the playoffs by beating Bayhead 2-0 in the semifinals, beat Briel 3-0 in the finals. The girls finished the season with a 10-1 record and have now won back-to-back MCAL championships. Manasquan Board of Education graduates the 2017 Manasquan Elementary School Girls Soccer Team coach, Tom Lucinello. Coach, could you come up and say a few words?
Started. I want to congratulate all the teachers and students here tonight who will be recognized after the girls here for their excellence in the classroom. And really want to thank the administration and the board for recognizing us here this evening. It's a great honor to be here, and we appreciate everything you do for us. This past soccer season, well, I guess you saw everything on the board there, but we had a really successful year. We wound up winning the American Division regular season championship with an 8-1-1 record. And then we proceeded into the championship, which the top four teams from the American and the National divisions compete, just the top two from each. And so it's a final four. So as you saw, we defeated Bayhead 2-0, and whereas the Europeans would say 2-0, and then 3-0 in the finals against our rival, Briel. Sorry, Mr. Vitale. No.
Congratulations.
At least Belmore's off the hook this year. I can't say enough about the girls. I'm just so proud of, the championships are great, but we had a really fun year. I was really, just so proud of their effort, their enthusiasm, and most importantly, their sportsmanship that they displayed on the field. They're all excellent student athletes, students being emphasized there, so I'm really proud of the girls, and I want to make a run at 3-in-a-row next year, so you guys are here.
We have a certificate of appreciation as well as some Wally books for the girls. Now we'd like to recognize, as I call your name, please come up to receive the certificate. Sadie King Gerzo. Sadie. Thank you. Riley Rampone. Parker Sack. Emma Brown. Lillian Ryan.
Against the storm fence at the far end of the Manasquan High School football field. He, like many others, is watching quarterback Jim Roper and dreaming about his time as a Manasquan athlete. Jim's back is turned to the menacing defense that stands just a few feet away. He looks into the eyes of each player, huddled tightly together in front of him. Jim leans in towards them. His mouthpiece is in his hand, in a firm, determined voice. He whispers the next play. Manasquan's band blasted away. There was still time, but not enough time, for the Borough to win. But try telling that to the Manasquan players. Manasquan's first play from the 23-yard line was a sweep right, next a dive, then a rollout. Manasquan's quarterback, keeping the ball in the following play, ran out of bounds. An offside penalty pushed Manasquan back, but not back far enough. On the next snap, Manasquan swept right, trying to score, but failed. Hawkins was setting up the burn for the next ironic play. They set up. The play was going to be a bootleg left, the same play that Manasquan used to score in the first quarter. This time, the Borough defense was waiting for the pass to the far end. But instead of throwing, the quarterback faked the pass and dove into the end zone. Touchdown, Manasquan. Manasquan beat Point Pleasant Borough 19-7, 26-0. Manasquan played Point Pleasant Borough Friday night. I invite you to come to the game to see what happens. My belief is with Manasquan. Just like it was with you when you won the other day. You guys played awesome. Thank you very much for representing us so well. Coach, I hope that's not too much pressure, but I didn't see you standing back there just now. The Manasquan Board of Education, I know some girls have to go to basketball. So if you'd like to take a cupcake, but please take a cupcake and leave. You won't hurt my feelings. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our students of the month. These students serve as role models for their peers. Our students here are exceptional. The focus on students rising to the top as students of the month is truly awesome. They are academically motivated, they demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom, and have a positive school attitude. They're involved in extracurricular activities that promote school and community services. The Elks Teenagers of the Month are selected the same way. It's because of their academic achievements and their accomplishments in the community. They should be recognized and praised for all they do for others. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Manasquan High School Students of the Month. Julian Roberts, our senior, and Jenna Arms, our junior. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Congratulations. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School Students of the Month, our sophomore, Julian Moran. Julian? Our freshman, Yvonne Martini. Congratulations. Thank you for being here. I ask you to bring along with me this portion of our program that we recognize the excellent staff that we have here at Manasquan by focusing on a teacher who has been chosen by the senior as the teacher. It takes a special person to teach a child in class to just keep his attention in a world that moves so fast. To show a child who is unique, with talents deep inside, to help to build his confidence so he can be with pride. To show a little patience for a child who has lost his way, to a child who feels abandoned, who has seen better days. To inspire and to motivate, so a child can learn and grow, to go into this big wide world that has its highs and lows. You are a special person. You always give your best. For every child who has your class, their life is truly blessed. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education congratulates our Teacher of the Month, Lee Weiser. Manasquan Board of Education, I congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School student of the month, Ellie Hallman. Thank you. congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School Teacher of the Month, Mark Reed. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan Elementary School Elks Student of the Month, Michaela Mead. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan High School Elk Teenager of the Month, Sarah Lokowski. We also have presentations tonight that we're going to focus on our project that we have from New Roads Construction. However, our construction manager couldn't be with us tonight because he became ill, so I'm going to give that presentation for him. The Manasquan project that we're focusing on as we speak for the high school and elementary school is on time and on the budget. That concludes my report. As you can see, the walls are coming down. They're doing a great job. The construction company is really focused. And Ms. Coates and I, as well as Mr. Coppola, are out every day looking at what's going on. And we're moving in the right direction. Actually, we're a few months ahead of time, which frightens me, but it's just anxious anticipation. So we're fine. But any questions from the board about the project? Go ahead. Oh, yes. Not going back. Thank you. With that, we'll just pause for 5 minutes so you can have some cupcakes, and please take them with you. Stay in the open house video again.
I'm in the open house video.
This is the open house video that is the place Ms. Dakota's been put together for this year. And I'd like to have the opportunity for the board to see it as we go into our last presentation. If you would.
Being a part of Manasquan High School means bettering yourself and others through your own personal style of leadership.
Challenging yourself each and every day.
Making friends you never thought you had.
Being part of the best student section around.
Yeah, let's go, Swan.
Developing the values of the person you want to become.
Pride in your community, keeping traditions alive, and unity as a whole student body.
Being at Manasquan High School with all the teachers here, they care about your high school education, they care about your life, but most of all, they care about where you end up after high school.
Here at Manasquan High School, our students have unique opportunities to join one of four academies, which will allow them to study and pursue career opportunities in a specific field.
The purpose of the Manasquan High School Academy of Health Careers is to help students who are interested in the health medical field broaden their horizons in their future career paths. Some of the types of students that we have want to go into orthopedic surgery, nursing, nurse practitioner, and also physician's assistant. Some of the unique experiences that are offered in the academy are off-site job shadowing, guest speakers, class trips, and then one of our most important ones are the mini med school offered by Jersey Shore Medical Center that our students attend.
The biggest things I'm excited for is in December we get to make a trip to Rutgers with our class and do a full cadaver lab and meet people that are in med school and different doctors and professionals.
We are right now at a total of 21 college credits that are offered from Rutgers University.
The Academy of Finance is a program that allows kids who are interested in maybe owning their own business or becoming an accountant or investing in the stock market. So the courses that the students take are introduction to business, accounting, economics, entrepreneurship, and financial planning. All five of these courses are all free credit classes offered through Georgian Courts School of Business.
The Academy of Finance at Manasquan High School has definitely prepared me for my future with all the field trips we take to businesses, all of the coursework that I've completed, even the summer internship, is providing me with a great foundation of what I hopefully continue to study in the future.
My name is Tim Clayton. I'm a retired police captain with the Walton Police Department. I have an opportunity at Manasquan High School to teach students Public Safety 1, Public Safety 2, and Criminal Investigation as part of the Academy of Public Safety. The purpose of this academy is to provide students the opportunity to learn a multitude of skills to fulfill a career in law enforcement, public safety, or emergency response.
My favorite experience with the academy so far would definitely be the K-9 demonstration.
The Academy of Engineering was formed to allow students to be exposed to a variety of careers within the engineering field. This allows them to decide whether they would like to pursue a career in one of the associated industries. Some of the highlights of our academy include two teams of finalists going to the STEAM 10 convention finals, our Cyber Patriots team, which is the National Defense team, and our first Tech Challenge Robotics team.
I joined the Academy of Engineering because I felt that it would provide me with opportunities to learn more about engineering and what I want to do when I get older.
At Massillon High School, we use technology every day. We have access to teacher lectures, class materials 24/7, participate in interactive lessons and videos,
such as virtual labs.
We also take notes about that in class, which is using our tablet. Using tablets has made it much easier to be organized and results in having to carry less books throughout the school.
Being a Massillon Warrior means taking pride in your school and always believing in tradition. The Massillon High School offers so many electives and AP classes, honors classes, so many sports, band, drama, everything that anyone can get involved in.
To be a Massillon Warrior means you're part of one of the richest traditions in the Shore Conference, and you're committed to that tradition as well. You walk through the hallways every day, you see Hall of Fame pictures, you walk in the gym, you see posters all over the walls, you know, championships year in and year out. And, part of that commitment, comes on the field every day. And it's not just, football, baseball, it's every sport. Last year, we won 7 state championships throughout all sports. And, that commitment comes from practice every day, working hard. And that's all you're going to see here at Massillon High School, a bunch of students working hard.
It's a very exciting time here at Massillon, as we are in the motion of completing a project that is going to give us an infrastructure with 6 new science labs and an opportunity for a STEM lab. Next year's freshman class will be the first to enjoy the benefits of this new facility throughout all of their 4 years.
I think every single person in Massillon has a person for them, and I think we all express our own individuality, whether it's through academics or athletics or arts or anything you can think of. We all come together as one and we all bleed blue.
Thank you.
I'm guessing that was the first discussion item under education, curriculum, and technology?
That was the technology report, actually.
Okay. So, it's you two in education.
Thank you. With that, we have a memorandum of understanding included in your packet or on as a virtual handout. That's focusing on our Committee of Public, Academy of Public Safety, whereby the Monmouth County Board of Chosen Freeholders and the Academy Directors have determined that the SLEO 1 program, the Classification 1 program, approved by New Jersey Police Training Commission, will be given to our students at the conclusion of their senior year here if they're achieved graduation from our Academy of Public Service. Any questions about that? You're going to approve it tonight. I have it. I sent it to everybody. I think that's a great step forward for us.
So you go to next year's open house for you.
That was a talking point when people came here to talk about the academy. With that, I've reached out to the DeWall superintendent and talked about developing an agreement, memorandum of understanding with them for ROTC, and she is in agreement with that. So I expect at the December meeting to present that to you after showing you copies in the Friday packet and making sure that it meets your approval. But right now we're focusing on, we do have one student going there at 25% of their tuition, which is about $1,800, paid by the parent. So, any questions about that? Personnel items will be discussed in executive session. We are focusing on the temperature in the elementary school as we speak, making sure that the HVAC system is working. And Lynn presented me today with the first of a daily temperatures in each of the classrooms, and we have an average temperature here as well. We have the highlight for cooling and heating. You'll be receiving these in the Friday packet, so I just want to let the board know that now that it's turning to a winter mix and we have more colder temperatures, that we're going to ensure that the temperature stays moderate and students do not have to wear their coats. That was our focus. Any questions about that? We will have a discussion about lower field and athletic improvements in our executive meeting tonight. With that, I'm going to turn it over to finance agenda items. Lynn, you want to focus on anything regarding the finance?
Yes, under finance, the 18-19 budget process. We're on schedule with our budget plan of action. The budget rollout meeting with the administration was held on November 2nd. Their budgets will be developed and submitted to Dr. Cajun and myself by December 22nd. This month, we'll be communicating with the sending districts requesting their estimated enrollment for 18-19. And our board finance committee will begin their meetings in January and early February. I do believe, Mr. Pellegrino, did you want to discuss the ad hoc finance committee members at this point?
As we've done in the past, I would ask anybody who would like to serve on the budget committee to please send an email to Lynn and copy me, or just send it to Lynn, and we will we'll try to have it. If there's people that haven't been involved in the past that want to be involved, we'll certainly take that into consideration. But we need to do that, in the next week or so that we can begin that process. Last year's committee, just so as a reminder, was Ms. Pisone, Mr. Catani, Mrs. Muley, Mr. Vitale, and myself. So anyone that that hasn't gotten involved in some of these subcommittees in the past, we're certainly looking for more involvement from those people. If your schedule allows it, it's probably going to be, help me, man. How many meetings? Four or five?
Four.
Say four meetings. We'll work as best we can around everyone's schedule. I think it's important for people that haven't done it in the past, if you want to get a better understanding of how the budget's built and the ultimate product. I think that it'd be good to have some people, some new ideas and some new people.
Any discussion at all about the budget process? Okay.
Okay, moving on to the 16-17 audit. Our draft audit was received this afternoon electronically. Once it's reviewed, the audit will be distributed to the board also electronically, and it'll be turned into the state by the first week in December, which is the statutory deadline. Our auditor is scheduled to present the audit at our December board meeting.
Can we seamlessly move to buildings and grounds?
Yeah, would you mind if I just jump back up? We missed policy.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Yeah, so the 2018 board meeting schedule is distributed in the Friday packet. It's on the agenda this evening as document H. For the most part, it's very similar to the current 2017 schedule, beginning with our reorganization meeting, which is January the 3rd, and like we did in January of 2017, it is a Wednesday evening due to the district being closed on January 1st. Are there any questions about that?
Do any dates jump off on anybody that they think that might be a problem?
So onto buildings and grounds. The comprehensive maintenance plan report, the M1, and the facilities checklists are reports that are action items this evening on the agenda. They're agenda item number 22, page 6. These are annual reports that we're required to complete in the fall, and they're reviewed by the County Office of Education in conjunction with our CUSAC and our statements of assurance documents. So they're on the agenda this evening for approval. And as Dr. Cajun mentioned, we are going to be discussing the lower field athletic improvements in executive session. Are there any questions?
Can I go back just real quick for the meeting?
Sure, Ken.
Is that going to be computer read, or is it going to be actual temperatures in the classroom? Because I think there's a discrepancy, right, from what the computer says what the heat is?
Actually, it's going to be both. But the only way I can read the actual temperature in the classroom is that the gun that we have that shoots the red beam at the spot. Lynn, what's that gun called? What's the red beam called?
Heat sensor.
Thermometer.
A heat sensor.
Yeah, it's like
no, it's an actual, but do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah,
it's a laser.
I don't think that is to find out what is technically blowing, I think, out, like if we use it for home inspections.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that will gauge, sometimes it's, wouldn't a thermometer, a simple thermometer in the bedroom, and if they're in state, we're just confirming that this is a
But we have that we do have a temperature on the wall, uh-huh, on the thermostat,
okay,
and we read that. My intent was to run this, then cross-reference that by using that gun, but we could use the temperature on the wall
I'm just wondering, is it like where you would look at the wall and say it's 73, but the actual, you know, in school districts, I mean, I'm not just saying Manasquan, but just in general, just because that says it and because the computer down at the custodian says that it's 73, and you walk in there and there's kids in coats and hats.
That's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
What I've experienced in room 103, 105, and 111 is that the HVAC system in the elementary school was not functioning properly. So when I went in there, those three rooms were all being fed by the same unit. But when I went on the wall and looked at the thermostat, it was 70, 73, and I think it was 77. So there was a discrepancy there, but each room that I was in, you could feel one was warmer than the other. Then when we ran this, it told us, it was spot on with the temperatures. The problem was that Train had to come back and fix that unit because of the air that was coming through into those rooms, how it was being cooled. They did that and it worked. So I was gonna use this and the gun. I'll do whatever you suggest because I wanna make sure that.
No, I just wanna make sure it's just not a computer thing.
Well, you're also going to reach out to the teachers, right?
Teacher.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how that came to me originally. As I walked down the hall, they said to me, you know, Doc, our room's really hot today. So I went in there and said, you're right, it's warm. And then I got that right over there.
My concern was that the people are so ingrained in the fact that the temperature never works, mm-hmm, that they don't tell you if it's not working because they're not, they don't,
well,
maybe they don't know that it's supposed to work now.
Or they're sick of saying it.
Yeah, yeah, right. So that's kind of why he's using this three-pronged approach to try to get to everybody.
Triangulating the data, that makes the data real. Mark, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I knew it was in the back of my mind. Triangulation of data. That's awesome. Okay. Shall I move to the superintendent's report?
Briskly.
Enrollment. As of we speak, 1,529 total enrollment. High school, 944. Elementary school, 585. Regarding our fire drills and our safety drills, both the high school and the elementary school have met them successfully for October. October 5th, we had a fire drill in the high school. October 23rd, we had an evacuation drill. At the elementary school, October 4th, we've had a fire drill, and October 27th, we had a lockdown drill. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying, we did have two incidents, one in the high school and one in the elementary school, that were confirmed. Both students that were confirmed with their harassment, intimidation, bullying did receive consequences from the administration, as well as counseling from the guidance department. Any questions at all before I turn it over to the Director of Curriculum and Instruction? Oh, yes.
Can I ask a question?
You sure may.
Okay. This is just from the fire drills and like all the drills we have. I've been talking to a lot of people, and I know we don't do like fire drills slash lockdown drills during lunch periods because it throws off everyone's schedule, but I came to my attention just through like talks in general, like what, like we don't know what we would do if there was an actual lockdown and we were in the cafeteria, or like I don't know what I would do if there was a lockdown, like seriously, while I was in the cafeteria.
Olivia, thank you. May I read that question into a suggestion? That we have a lockdown and a fire drill during one of our lunch times in the high school? Can I say that?
Yes.
Can I bring that to Mr. Capola's attention coming from the student?
Yes.
I will definitely do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I agree with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
And by the way, thank you for staying. Again, you're adding to our meeting. Anything else? Now, the Director of Curriculum and Instruction.
Okay, I want to start with, in Jess's video, we saw the STEM team, and I know a lot of you were down in Atlantic City when they were in the semifinals. I don't think there's been an official announcement. I don't know who went down over Teachers Convention, but our EcoTrack group took first place. I believe about 190 teams to start,
teams.
And our Xbox controller guys came in third. So they did an awesome job, and I know Amy's putting together a release that we were working on today to put it in the co-store. So really exciting. They won some money. Some of the sponsors are thinking about scholarships for the seniors. And other organizations are reaching out to them to help them further their projects. So it's exciting.
It's $2,500 for first place. I don't know how much third place.
I think
place
it was $500 for the second.
$4,000.
They changed it.
Oh.
That's okay. We'll take it. The nice thing is the scholarship offers that they're receiving.
Yes. They
also met with Tesla Saturday over at the Info Age.
Oh, wow.
And Tesla is talking to them about patents and different things at airports.
That's really
incredible.
That's incredible. Really quickly also, because we don't talk about too much that's going on in the classroom. I sat in on, well, I don't know if I could say his name because he wasn't raced. Am I allowed to say his name?
As long as you're not going to discuss his performance. Yes.
Okay.
You can just say what class it was.
Okay. Our BC Calc. The teacher created, if you're familiar with the escape room games, mm-hmm. he created an escape room type game where it started where the students had to work together to solve a calc problem and open a cabinet in their room. And in there was their assignments. And it was a competition. Who could find the key to unlock another cabinet by the end? And it was all kinds of AP calculus problems. So they were doing math. And then he had little safes for each of them. They had to solve problems to open up the safe. they had to graph things, and when they graphed it, the points came out as a website that they had to go to. There was a code, a key of where they would have to go to leave the room, and it was written backwards, and then there were numbers in it, so they had to decipher that. They went around the room and they found the key. He created the whole thing himself. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. He's recorded it, and he and his supervisor, Craig Muren, are going to go through it and create something to put up on the website. It was absolutely awesome.
Wow.
So, yeah. Okay, quickly, our other programs. Continuing with our Brookdale endeavors, the Public Safety Academy, Brookdale approved Jim Fagan to teach two courses, our criminal justice courses. Our students can receive college credit for those two courses. We will be using their curriculum, and we will purchase the textbook that they are using for the course. We are still working with Brookdale for our associate's degree. We have three teachers who have been approved as adjuncts. We're waiting on six more. I did speak with the person in charge of the program today, Franklin Rother, and we're going back and forth to try and speed up the process because they're missing some documents. And the transcripts, they're waiting for our teachers' official transcripts, which are coming from universities. So we're waiting on that. Leslie and I met today to talk about the type of curriculum that we're going to have for these students. We're looking at a social science program. It'll be a blend of AP courses and then courses from the Brookdale that we'll be using. So we're working on that. As far as, are you talking about the survey?
Okay.
Okay. At our open house, we did a mini survey to see who was interested in the performing arts, as well as the associate's degree. Unfortunately, maybe it was because it was in this room and they were going to all the academies, we only had six people respond to the survey. Those six people are interested in the Performing Arts Academy. We are going to put out a Honeywell and another survey that will include the performing arts, the associate's degree, and we'll also have a survey to, because we're going to do a feasibility study for the IB program, so we want to see about interest for that. So we're going to get that up and running and hopefully have the answers for our December meeting on the interest there. And at our last meeting when we presented our park scores, I said I would investigate and do some research on our grade 3 math scores. So I looked at several things in collaboration with Colleen and her third grade teachers. We compared years, scale scores, testing time frames, curriculum and pacing, and then of course the areas in which they struggled. We saw that from last year, 2016 scores to the 2017 scores, because we were trying to see the composition of the students, because the curriculum was the same. So, and the teachers were the same. So in the 2016, 61%, well 62% of the students passed. The state score was 750 and we had 753. The next year's scores, the 2017, our percentage dropped to 43%. The state score was 751 and we were 748. So if we look at the score, the scale score, they're not that much different where our percentage of passing is. So we went further and we looked at when the test was administered. It was administered in late March. That was 5 weeks earlier than the previous year. So because of the curriculum being sequential, because it's math, the teachers recognized that they did not account for that change, and there were things on the tests that the students hadn't seen yet. This year, the test is it's later. It's 3 weeks later, which will help. But we're being more proactive than that. The curriculum's been looked at. The pacing guides have been looked at. And the order in which the material is covered has been looked at, so that the items that aren't as crucial for the test will be closer to the test, whereas the critical items and the items that the students struggled with will be earlier in the curriculum. So we're revising the curriculum, and we looked at the areas that they had trouble with, and there were two areas: modeling and reasoning, which relates to solving problems using measurement and data. So it was perimeter, linear, and area measurement. And the second area was number and operations relating to geometric concepts, which is the equivalence of fractions. So these things, the curriculums have been revised, and so all the data was analyzed to see where the students struggled, and we should have better results next year. We're working on it. And that's it for me.
Okay.
One thing about these sources would be, if that curriculum comes together, are we saying a student can graduate minus 1 or 2 years with an associate's degree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then, what would be the benefit? What would be the benefit of a student going for?
Okay, it would depend on where they're going to college, and feel free to join in here. They would leave Manasquan with 60 college credits. 60 college credits. Now, if you're coming from Brookdale, that gives you automatic entry into certain universities. Where the student would start, at what level in college, and you know, would that advance in college or would that be beneficial? I think it would depend on the student and where they were going. There is a program that we mentioned at the last meeting that St. John Vianney is doing, where Georgian Court and Brookdale are collaborating. And after the associate's degree, if the student chooses to go to Georgian Court, then they can get an MBA in 5 years. So that would be a really good benefit, you know. So it really depends on the school they would choose to go to next.
Is there like an accreditation that needs to be done so that it is acknowledged? Like, is it like some junior schools, two-year programs, like if they lose their accreditation, they can't transfer those?
Most of the community colleges, the community colleges in New Jersey, all have affiliations. So if they actually receive, the student received the degree, then it will transfer to a four-year school. The question becomes, you know, it transfers, it's still the degree, and it transfers the 60 credits, but is it necessarily transferring into your major? Because we had questioned, you know, is a student going to be starting as a true freshman? Are they going to be starting as a junior? And emotionally, are they ready? It really depends on the major. I mean, oftentimes students will go from a two-year school to a four-year school and take some classes that are considered general electives, and then they'll wind up taking more classes towards their major early on, which is a benefit.
Because they have general classes already.
Right. And so the accreditation piece.
And then also you're not paying for the university prices to take the general classes.
Right.
And what most people, you know, I don't think, I know I didn't realize, was that when you get the two-year degree, every class will transfer. I mean, it may transfer as classes, like we said, that are general ed, but you do wind up transferring with you know, many credits. And even without an associate's degree, we have so many students that I'm noticing here that have so many, they're going into college with credits from Manasquan, which is amazing to begin with. So now you're offering them, you know, the possibility of more.
Thank you.
Robert, thanks. Is that you finished?
I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd like to welcome Leslie Canning to the table tonight. And as a director, you have a report as well?
I do. Well, first I wanted to just, you know, say how impressed I was for the open house, because again, I wasn't here that long and I was asking people for help and I didn't really even know who they were, so I can't say enough good things about the staff and the students. They were so helpful. I mean, I must have gotten, you know, 75 volunteers in the matter of 2 days, and so, you know, we were already talking about next year. The plan for moving forward for open house is to possibly put it on the calendar earlier. If you look at the vocational schools and private schools, they're doing them as soon as, you know, sometimes September, October, and making decisions, you know, by December. So maybe looking to do it a little bit sooner, make it bigger, have even more staff members available, and publicize it, you know, starting a little bit sooner. So that was something we were looking forward to for next year. But I think, you know, we got a really good turnout, and the whole makeup of it went well. Naviance was something that I wanted to take a look at. I actually spent a good portion of this afternoon speaking to our account representative for Naviance, and Naviance is a program that we're lucky enough to have, you know, in the both sides of the street. So right now we've had 7,600 student log-ons to Naviance since September in the high school, which even when I talked to the representative, he said that was incredible. So that's meaning that the students are logging on, they are using the platform, they are using the tools, and really shows the importance of the program. Right now we also have 59.6% of our senior class that has already submitted applications, which is astounding considering it was a November 1st deadline. Every year we're starting to see more and more students that come in earlier, and we laugh because school opens and they have their resumes and their applications ready, a lot of these students. So many, I mean, almost 60% of students had November 1st deadlines that they met. I also talked to the representative today to kind of review the system and see what we're using the most and what we're not. For example, we have an ACT, SAT test prep program on Naviance that we think could be, you know, more utilized in the high school level. You know, there's actually, I included on the top of the packet, an actual suggested assessment. So really moving forward, talking to both sides of the street, both schools, and saying, you know, what can we use appropriately for 7th and 8th graders, really doing, you know, specific things. There's career interest inventories, there's different types of About Me, there's resume builders, and the great thing about Naviance is that it really is, you know, a platform to start as early as 7th grade. So in speaking to the representative, you know, he is very impressed with our usage of the platform so far, and is going to work with us to try to find out how we can use it more effectively. The other thing that I wanted to put out was something really, you know, we get a lot of parents, especially doing the open houses of the different vending districts. You know, parents are nervous about the whole post-secondary process, the college planning process, and so what we really wanted to take a look at was a timeline and really being able to map out a timeline. Whether or not the student follows it or exactly or not, at least we could say, well, you know, as a freshman, this is what you should be doing. And not just for college, for career, for vocational. But, you know, start thinking about it. And, you know, often freshmen are just thinking, you know, about being in high school. They're not necessarily thinking about the future, but the parents are starting to ask more questions earlier. And I think that giving them a timeline, you know, to kind of be mapped out, either putting it in their freshman orientation packet or when we meet with the 8th grade parents at different open houses, explain to them our plan for the school counseling office to work with the students, you know, to move forward. So that's something that we were going to send out. And then master scheduling. So Barbara and I have been talking about the whole makeup of the master schedule, taking a look at different school districts in the state to see, you know, what they're using. A lot of schools have gone from, you know, a traditional schedule to a rotating block, a full year schedule. We have a visit scheduled in 2 weeks at Nutley High School. They have a full year rotating block. And the goal of looking at the schedule is really to see, you know, with all the programs that we're bringing in, what's going to be the most beneficial, what's going to work with our students, what's going to allow us to really incorporate all of these programs in, and really take a look and see if it's doable and it's manageable for us. And then take the schedule that we look to possibly put in place and then, you know, trickle it down and see how can we, you know, implement, you know, small steps into the 6th, 7th, 8th grade schedule. So, you know, if we look to see it, find a schedule and it seems to work, then we'll be able to take it further, hopefully a little bit, you know, sooner rather than later. But with all of the, you know, all the programs, we want to make sure that a schedule that we put in place is, you know, has transferability and has, you know, continuity for the students, because as we said, students are coming in as freshmen wanting to map out their schedule already. So we're definitely going to be taking a look at that. And we started a Twitter account. Follow us on Twitter.
at Swan Guidance. I'm up to 21 followers. Just to push out, you know, different types of events and trying to stay with the changing times. So, yeah.
Can you give us an example of what a rotating block schedule is?
Sure, sure. So a rotating block schedule is centered, it's full year classes. Okay, so it would be considered 8 classes standard. I actually, at the next meeting, can give you some examples of these different types of schedules. What they have is something called a unit lunch, where everybody in the building is eating lunch at the same time. So your rotating block comes from classes 1 through 4 in the morning part, like 1, 2, 3, and then the following day would be 4, 5, 6 before lunch. The after lunch portion would be 6, 7, 8, and then the you're dropping one. So basically, the research has shown for this type of schedule that, you know, the students are seeing the teachers for long periods of time and different times throughout the day. So they're not seeing the same students in the morning every day or in the afternoon. They're also, you know, having the continuity of a course year round in terms of, you know, PARC testing or AP testing, so they're not missing that break. And then the unit lunch gives a lot of the students the availability to kind of, you know, get together for groups. So for example, in guidance office, if we wanted to do college visits, it's one set time that the students have a little bit more flexibility to push into classrooms, to pull out to different events. So that's one model. I mean, there are districts that have A days, B days, so there are so many different types. But the model that's been adopted a lot more frequently now is called a rotating drop block.
Well, I tried to write all that down, but I failed miserably.
Don't worry.
I'll look forward to it.
I will absolutely. You know what? I'm visual, so I have to kind of see it too. And that's something else too, that, you know, visiting the districts, really making sure that to see what kind of research has been done and how has something like this been rolled out, because it's different.
Sure.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?
No, I'm impressed with all the new paperwork we have here.
Oh, thanks.
That's great. I don't remember having this much information for the freshmen coming in. And
yeah.
It's great because you're right, they are prepared and they want to get ready in whatever direction.
Yeah. And it's new to me, just the sending districts and being able to go talk to them and see how. You want to kind of level the playing field a little bit because they're all coming from different places. So, and I know as a parent, you know, I need to know what's going on because the kids on the path.
I was just
going
to say, I didn't know. Usually they say, oh, the student needs to know this. They need to know. The parent needs to know.
Right, of course.
So that it gets done.
Right,
exactly.
So that you can nag the student.
Right, exactly. But at least this gives them a guideline
absolutely.
On what they should
absolutely.
Do. And that's what they need
to
know.
Yeah.
Thank you. That concludes the superintendent's report this evening.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report? Mr. Catani, second. Ms. Pisone, any questions about the superintendent's report? Sandy.
Mrs. Pisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Hobiter.
Yes.
Mr. Libretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carrie.
That brings us to our Massachusetts general items. Items 12 through 19. Would anybody need anything separated out? 12 through 19. Okay, let's go to the public forum. Number 11 is a public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anybody from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'd now like to move to the Manasquan general items, numbers 12 through 19. Would anybody like anything separated out in 12 through 19? Seeing no one, do we have a motion for items 12 through 19?
Yes.
Ms. Spisone, seconded by Mr. Serino. Do we have any questions on items 12 through 19? Sandy.
Mrs. Spisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Hobner.
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to our Manasquan Senate District items. And those include items 20 through 39. Items 20 through 39. Would anybody like anything separated out in items 20 through 39? Give you a second to read all those. Time's up. Do we have a motion for items 20 through 39? Mr. Catani, second. Ms. Muley, any questions on 20 through 39? Sandy.
Mrs. Spisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mr. Fiore.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Abstain from number 38, James Frieda. Yes to everything else.
Mr. Hobner.
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta.
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carrie.
That brings us to old and new business. Does anyone have any old or new business they would like to present or discuss or any questions? Seeing no one, that brings us to our second public forum. Anyone that didn't feel like they were heard the first time would like to have any questions or bring any issues? Seeing no one, that brings us to executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in 12B of the Act. Whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of this executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the Board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the Board hereby declares its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Manasquan Board of Education, this Board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Item 1, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is in relation to a student matter. Number 7, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client, which is in relation to the special project engineer contract. And number 8, personnel matters involving hirings and or resignations. Items discussed in executive session will result in Board action this evening when the Board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Hovner, seconded by Mr. Lafredo. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We can stay right here. Reconvene from executive session. Mr. Hovner, second.
Yes.
Mr. Serino, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Brings us to item number 43, Manasquan personnel. Recommend approval of the elementary school personnel as per document 3. We have a motion to do so. Over. Second. Mr. Catani, any questions on document 3? That's the yellow sheet. Seeing no one. Sandy.
Mrs. Spisone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma.
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley.
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Manasquan Senate District items 44 and 45. Does anyone need either one of those separated? So we have a motion for items 44 and 45. Mr. Serino, second. Mr. Vitale, any questions on those two items? Sandy.
Mrs. Spisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
44, document N, abstain from Michaela Reed? Yes.
Mr. Hobner?
Yes.
Mr. Lofredo?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie?
And do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Serino? Just second by Mr. Catani, all those in favor?
Aye.
Heather, for your last time? For the November meeting? No, but for the November meeting.